Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Welcome, everybody, this morning. Kathy, forward to where we're headed. How has your time been? We're taping this in February, but how has your time been in January?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster. Lots of great stuff going on, but as you know, actually had a health scare with my sister.
Yeah.
And so that has dominated part of the month. But I won't go into all the details, but it was such a sweet, sweet thing, even with that happening. God is in so many details and had me in Florida already just before this occurred. And so I was actually there when the health issue happened and was able to stay in the ICU with her for the following week. And God is just so good. You know, sometimes we don't understand the timing of things he lays out. And sure enough, he was putting me exactly where I needed to be in that moment. And so there's some sweetness in that, right?
Yeah. How is she doing?
She is doing okay. She is out of ICU now, so that is good, but there's still some other lingering issues they've got to tend to. So she is in a regular room on the cardiac floor at this moment, and hopefully will be released soon and be able to do some PT, home health care sort of thing. I think they're not going to put her in an inpatient, last I heard, for rehab.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, we'll talk about this as we're talking about the prophetic and our serving the body and the role of it all, in that the prophetic is so big a thought process and a concept that it's not a single entity or thing you do. It's rather your participation in what God is up to as he directs things ahead, you know. And so, you know, even what you experienced, it wasn't that you were being told, I need you to go there because.
Right.
He just, as you came together, it's that, okay, I have an opening, I can come, I'm coming that week.
Right.
And there was no thought about that you're coming other than just to be with her.
Right. What was so cool about this, though, if we back up even, I'll go ahead and give a little bigger context to all of this. The timing that I was down there ended up overlapping when you guys were in your on your trip, the leadership trip down in Sarasota.
Yeah.
And way back when that first came up, Dan and I prayed about it and we're like, we don't feel like we're supposed to go for that one. It was going to fall just a few days after something I was already committed to that was going to have me in Florida for that weekend. And then you guys were coming down that following Wednesday. And Dan's board meeting also coincided. So we're like, we really just, you know, as we prayed about, we're like, we're not supposed to try to make that one fit. Don't worry about that. And then as things firmed up, we continued praying. And normally Dan would want to come down and see my sisters as well. And we were asking God, you know, Dan can't go down after the conference I was at, but he could go down the week before. And as we both prayed about it, we felt very strongly that God said, no, Kathy's supposed to go by herself and Dan's to stay here and it's to be after. And I'm like, I don't really know why. Maybe there's something from the conference I'm supposed to share with my sisters, whatever, but just trusting him in that. And lo and behold, as it all unfolded, God just had such a plan in place that we had no idea. And the fact that I was there exactly when the heart issue occurred and was able to be there for my sister and be there with her family, just incredible, absolutely incredible, because it could have just as easily been that we just decided we're going the week before so Dan can go too. And we had not, we had prayed about it. And God was like, no, you're going to stay after just for a couple of days and trust me with this. And happened to have a ticket that was pretty refundable. And, you know, so it was easy to make changes. And even in the changes that I made, it was hilarious because God did crazy things. Like I extended my rental car and actually saved money when I did.
Yeah.
and my flight home, where I had paid a little bit of a fee for an upcharge on that, took a delay. And so I got a flight credit that actually equaled what I spent to, I mean, it was just comically God all over it, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so many moments within that whole time I could share, you know, at some point, but even just in the hospital room, the way that the staff was blessed by, they knew there was something different in our room.
Right.
You know, and so there were just such sweet moments of God saying, this is exactly how it's supposed to be. You're where I want you to be. And I'm glad I listened, because we could have taken the reins and done it totally differently.
Yeah. And that's all part of the element of the prophetic, is that sometimes, unbeknownst to us, he's orchestrating certain things.
Right.
And we actually don't see it until
we can't even fathom it. Right.
But afterwards, it's like, oh, that's why. You know, had us not do this and do this.
Right.
And he said, yeah, I know more than you, which is the essence of the prophetic, is that, you know, the God of the universe, who cares deeply about us personally, says, I want to speak to you and show you things and tell you of things to come and speak truth. And I want you to help each other stay in that spot, mm-hmm. to keep listening, you know, just like you did, is, you know, you've learned, well, let's just get confirmation from God. Mm-hmm. And even there, where you and Dan said, okay, yeah, we received that. You didn't know why.
Right.
But you did receive it, you know, and he said, that's kind of how it works, you know, is mm-hmm. to come together. We just finished a leader retreat. We have 38 of our leaders. We have about 60 total now. And they came down to Florida to do a retreat. We did new material on stepping into our identity in God. And it was really powerful. And I think it'll be something we'll probably want to do on the podcast, because everybody recognized, as even in their own life, there's still pieces of their own self-identity that doesn't line up with what God says. Mm-hmm. And I operate under that, you know, and God says, right. I want to grow you and free you from that. So I think this will become kind of an interesting truth that everybody will get into. But in this study, we're talking about, you know, how do we serve as, we're all called to be prophetic, mm-hmm. to assist each other. Community, foretelling, you know, okay, help people with things coming up. And then forthtelling, truth telling, to be able to help people see what God wants them to see and understand. And we got to remember, the prophet isn't the one that only receives it and then has to have other people go to the prophet. Mm-hmm. In the New Testament, the prophet is a fellow disciple, mm-hmm. who walks with God, and we together are seeking and understanding God's will.
Right.
And so, you know, we've talked about that it's done in the heavenlies. We have the privilege of being in the heavenlies, and it's a spiritual place, the kingdom of God, and we get to hear. And so we want to talk a little bit about the basis for this. So if you would go to Hebrews chapter 10 and just read verses 19 to 25.
Sure. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Yep. And then read Ephesians 2, 4 to 10, that helps us pull these two things together.
Sure. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them.
Yeah. So in Hebrews, it says, with boldness and great confidence, you know, come into the throne room, mm-hmm. and sit there with Christ and the Father, and you have the Holy Spirit to process. Mm-hmm. Okay, now he gives us a basis for that, and that is that Hebrews, particularly chapters 7, 8, 9, and then into 10, they describe that Christ was the high priest. Mm-hmm. And the high priest was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies.
Right.
And he could only do it one year at a time. He couldn't sit down because it wasn't finished. So he would go in, sacrifice for himself, sacrifice for his family, sacrifice for the nation of Israel. And then everybody would come to the temple from all over. And they would then, and a lot of them had to purchase animals because it was too far to bring them. Mm-hmm. And they would purchase unblemished animals to sacrifice, to join what the high priest had just done.
Right.
By the way, that's one of the reasons why when Christ overturned the tables, mm-hmm. is you've turned my house of prayer, which he just described as to get to the place of having conversation with God, into a den of thieves, you know, and you what you're doing is you're working at making money at selling these animals. Mm-hmm. And how shame on you, you know, you're supposed to make it easy and you're not. But Christ was a high priest, so he could go into the Holy of Holies. And interesting enough, and which is what this describes here, is that he was both the high priest and the lamb, mm-hmm. the sacrifice. And instead of doing it every year, he finished it when he, you know, was on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And it completed the penalty that we had to take. So it wasn't just year after year after year now.
Right.
It was a once and for all. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father.
Because it's done, right?
Because it's done, finished, once and for all. It's done, and I've forgiven you. Now join me in that place. And he says, you know, I've separated the veil. And remember, at the Holy of Holies, it had an 80-foot curtain, 8 inches thick, and the only one that could go through it was the high priest. Well, when he died and said, "It is finished," at that very moment, the curtain rent from top to bottom, and it became now, all right, everybody, this is what he's saying here, everybody has access. Mm-hmm. To this. So because of that access, fully available to everybody, there's no limitation.
Right.
March right in. And in Ephesians, he said, why? Well, because Christ has brought you to sit with him at the right hand of the Father, mm-hmm. in the heavenly. So this whole aspect of the prophetic is coming from the spiritual kingdom. And we have the privilege of being in that spiritual kingdom by surrendering our will and walking with him. And then coming to the throne room and saying, "We've got questions. We've got mm-hmm. issues. We don't understand your will here. What would you speak to us? Or I've got an adversity, or I've got a conflict, or I've got this sticky thing." And he says, you know, "Come with me and I'll help you discover mm-hmm. my resolution, my answer, my will." And that's what he says, you know, march right in. You have the privilege of marching right in. Mm-hmm. I brought you with me and do it together. Okay, now. Yeah.
Before you go on, I just want to highlight, I love in verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holies," because what you've just described is the whole, you know, the why we can walk in with boldness. And I think the reality is that a lot of people look at that and they actually sit in shame.
Yeah.
Because they're focused more on their sin and what they've done, and they don't feel like they can boldly go in. And right here, therefore, and it goes back and it says, describes exactly what you said. It's not based, our access is not based on ourselves at all. And no. So when we are feeling shame and unworthiness to boldly go into the throne room, we need to take that thought captive and come back and look at the work of the cross, because our access is not based on us at all. It's based on him. For we get to have boldness. It doesn't matter where we've been. We get to have boldness. Because the cross covers it, right?
And the answer is when? How about now? Mm-hmm. And then he actually says, "Come with a sincere heart." The Greek word there is authentic. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't sugarcoat or think, "Well, because I've got an issue or I'm struggling or mm-hmm. I know I failed, I can't really march in because I have to go fix that first."
Right, right.
He says, no, come on in and share everything you're going with, including, "I'm struggling with this," or mm-hmm. "I know I failed," or "I know that I have this pattern." And God said, "Well, come right in." And he said, "Do it together," so that what he's trying to speak about, why we're all called to be prophets, is that he doesn't say only a few select get to come in. Mm-hmm. And you go to them. And you hear what they have to say, and then they'll ask me and I'll tell you through them. Mm-hmm. He said, no, you need to come with them. Mm-hmm. I'll speak to you. And if I'm a prophet, I don't want to say, "Tell me their will and I'll go tell them." But rather, my role is to bring them with me.
Right.
And then you speak to them, you speak to me, we'll contribute back and forth to each other until we all understand your will. And he said, there's two beautiful reasons for it. One is each of you will be able to look at something and process something, and I'll speak pieces of truth that you'll mm-hmm. contribute to it. One. And two is that none of you will think that only comes through you.
Right.
And I'll give you the ability to confirm through the Holy Spirit unity. Mm-hmm. Yep, you got it. Yep, you got it. And so that's our role, is to come to the throne room with boldness, bring the persons with us. So if I need help, I'm going to bring people with me. If somebody else needs help, I don't want them to say, you go in and let me know.
Right.
It's no, let's go together. And we always say, you and I always say this, you know, I'm struggling. We say, what's God saying to you? Mm-hmm. And they have to answer that question. And a lot of times, like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Right. Okay, well, let's learn that. Because if you're going to discover God's will, he's going to have to tell you mm-hmm. as well as we confirm it. So the prophetic, you know, isn't separate from us doing that together. Okay, then he says, when you're there, he says, you'll have the ability to hear what we call the fountain of life and the truth. So go to Psalm 36, 5 to 9, and then Psalm 63, 3 to 5.
Sure. Psalm 36, 5 to 9. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light.
Yeah. And then read Psalm 63, 2 to 5.
It says, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips.
Yeah. So he says that as we go into the throne room together, he says you will recognize that he calls this in both verses, his steadfast love mm-hmm. will be evident. And the word there in the Hebrew is his loyalty to delivering the covenant, is that you'll recognize that, okay, I got an issue. I have a decision to make. It's complex. I got a conflict. I got an adversity. I got a sticky thing. He says, well, you come in and you recognize I'm going to resolve this for you. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be best and none better. And I'm going to bless you to make you a blessing.
Right.
And he said, you'll recognize that. And he says, why? Well, because you'll receive the fountain of life. You'll receive light as he sees it. See, mm-hmm. I got to show you, this is what the prophetic's all about, is I got to show you what I see. Mm-hmm. And that's why there's both truth telling and there's foretelling, is that I need to show you things coming up, but I need to speak truth to you because you're not seeing yet what I see. And you're moving down a path of actually not following truth because you don't have the light yet. But the prophetic is to show you and for others to help bring that to light, because I will experience what he wants us to understand. How? By being with him in his sanctuary. And that's, again, the sanctuary is where God resided. We have him within us. And as we reside with him in his throne room, we have access.
Right. And we become his sanctuary, right?
And we are the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And he says, in the spiritual, you will receive these beautiful elements of life. And that's why he calls it fountain of life. It's not judgment. Mm-hmm. It's, hey, I'm leading you to the life, the very best, you know, that I have. And then go to 1 Chronicles 29, 11 and 12. We'll recognize something.
11 and 12.
Yeah.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all.
Yeah. So, you know, he said, well, it all comes from your kingdom. Mm-hmm. Your kingdom is where you are, which is power and might. And as I enter into your place of the kingdom, you're going to give me that power and might. You're going to you're going to illustrate that to me because I recognize where it's from. And I would like to participate in that, which you freely want to give me
right.
as I serve the prophetic. So it leads to amazing things. It leads to God at work in a big way. So it's not about just, you know, do I have a better way to maneuver? Mm-hmm. But rather, am I seeing what you're seeing and where you want to deliver your supernatural work?
Right.
Because I got to be in the right place at the right time with the right people to experience it. Mm-hmm. And that's what the prophetic is all about. It's not to tell you what to do. It's to have God guide you to the place where he's going to demonstrate his power and his might. Mm-hmm. So it's really remarkable. So as we think about
a beautiful gift, right?
Yeah. Why would you say that? It's such a beautiful gift.
I mean, it is such a beautiful gift because there are things we do not know, cannot know without him. That's the whole Jeremiah 33:3, right? Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things you do not know. And that word for mighty is not just things that you don't know, but things you can't know without asking him. And he sees and knows so much beyond what we do. And so, you know, the gift of knowing the God of the universe cares enough about the details of my life to reveal steps to me so that I walk into what his best is. What greater love, you know?
Yeah, it's a remarkable blessing and a privilege. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that you've opened up the curtain for us to walk with you boldly and confidently with an authentic heart, to just dialogue with you, to hear what you have to say, to process that. You ask us to bring others with us, to confirm it, to understand your way. It's going to be spectacular. You are going to deliver the covenant. We are going to have power and might operate in our life. And as Kathy said, what a privilege that is, that we get to actually be there and experience life there. And so we just pray that we won't neglect this beautiful thing and begin to both understand how we can become that and how we can have others join us in becoming that. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing, Rich. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.